This is the best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Coming to you from the sunny city of Los Angeles. Yeah. New home of LeBron James. Now, listen, I did not create the rules, but this has happened before. It will happen again. Sometimes your stars, your teams will flee to bigger markets, to better places, to place to which if you have money, you're like, why wouldn't you? We'll get to whether or not it makes sense from a basketball perspective, from a lifestyle perspective. But I really think that there's a word that best describes this weekend and even the reaction to this weekend in the NBA. You want to know what that word is? The word is to overcompensate. To overcompensate is to take an excessive measure of measures in an attempt to correct and amends for an error, a weakness, or a problem, especially one that occurred in the past. And I kind of feel like that's what a lot of folks did, including LeBron James. Think about how businesslike, how matter-of-fact, how efficiently he chose not just to pick the Lakers, but to announce that he had chosen the Lakers. Gets off a plane on Saturday to much fanfare, doesn't have a tour, doesn't have open meetings, collects his thoughts, collects his things, goes to his house. I mean, he did touch down in L.A. I mean, that was kind of a, you know, like, look, whether it's the decision was made in the decision cave in Anguilla or whether or not it was made when he got back to the States and Magic Johnson came and paid him a visit or whether or not it was in the car ride from his home to the private jet, which took him overseas. And of course, the story we read from Lee Jenkins of Sports Illustrated was he got on the phone right before getting on the plane and said, call the Lakers. Like, it's done. Kind of a baller move. Whenever he came to that decision, the fact was we knew he's a free agent. It wasn't a circus. Wasn't a bunch of meetings. Wasn't a TV show. It wasn't any leaks. There was just, this is what we're doing. Press release. Thank you. Goodbye. And he was off to Europe. LeBron James has done this, obviously, two previous times. The first time he had the not-so-well-received interview, kind of faux interview, if you will, in Connecticut, and then the celebration in Miami. Then what was received with great fanfare, but was, in fact, a circus in Cleveland, led to a huge celebration when he returned back home to Akron. And then this time, it was more matter of fact. Hey, changing addresses. Thanks for everything. I'm out. Dan Gilbert, his former owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers, took some time and penned a thoughtful letter thanking LeBron James, his family, his mother, even his children, for all their time and effort in raising the city up and welcomed him back anytime he wanted. It was as if everybody had kind of learned, you know, the way we did it last time wasn't that cool. And that's what smart, thoughtful people do. It's what do we say? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing the same way over and over again and expecting a different result. LeBron James, not insane. But this is not just the LeBron James story. Look at what happened with Paul George. Look, I'm blown away by Paul George's decision. Not because I can't see the desire to live in Oklahoma. Most of you know I spent 3 years of college and really the next 10 years or so, even after college, back and forth, 10, 12 years back and forth between Oklahoma. My in-laws are there. It's like my second home. I totally get, like, look, dude, if you want to chill, you want to have a life, you want to not deal as much with traffic, you want to buy a spot out in the country where you can just fish, you're into that sort of thing, which he is. Like, okay, I get it. My issue is, like, you could have been a Laker. And you wanted to be a Laker. And Magic Johnson wanted you to be a Laker. And they flirted with you openly. Cost them $500,000. It doesn't mean you had to go. Although, I do think there's more resonance in basketball when you're a Laker than when you're a member of the Thunder. But alas. But to not even have an interview And then to have a deal to which ultimately is going to pay you a ton of money. But if you, if you're really buying in and believing in yourself, you do a 2+1. Look, I think that Paul George overcompensated for his lack of loyalty in Indy by signing a little bit longer deal than he, than he probably should have in Oklahoma City. He also might have overcompensated for the fact that he just came off knee surgery and he broke his leg in half about 5 years ago. Like, all of these things are overcompensating for flaws of the past. And the Oklahoma City Thunder, well, they did the same. Look, how about the lavish party they had? Russell Westbrook overcompensating for the fact that he's not a warm and fuzzy guy, being a warm and fuzzy guy ever since the end, the disastrous end to the Thunder season. It just feels like everybody is a slightly more, a slightly greater or increased version of their self because of how have they previously been perceived, right? Like, Oklahoma City came on super, super, super strong because in the past, they trusted Kevin Durant and they assumed he'd be back. And you know what happens when you assume? You lose a player to the Golden State Warriors. Russell Westbrook, last time around, had a nice dinner with Nick Collison and Kevin Durant, and it was very chill and laid back, and they lost Kevin Durant to the Warriors. This time, they left nothing for chance. Nothing for chance. So I feel like between Magic overcompensating, knowing he had to get it done, LeBron James overcompensating, instead of, like, look, LeBron James coming to LA is a big thing. It should be received with great fanfare. He should have had a victory lap throughout the first pitch of the Dodger game, which eventually he'll do, but man, the whole city would wrap their arms around him and buy tickets today if he was in town. But in an effort to be discreet, in an effort to be efficient, in an effort to be the complete opposite of the flamboyant style of his departure from Cleveland the first time around, he's kind of overdone it.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Earlier today, I filled in for Dan Patrick and the Dan Patrick Show. I was joined by Jason Smith. He hosts our all-night show. Jason Smith, he does a great job. And we had on five-time NBA champion, Laker legend, only man to have two jerseys retired by the LA Lakers or any team in the NBA, Kobe Bryant. We started asking him about recruiting LeBron James to the Lakers and how he was first involved.
For a long time, man. You know what I mean? So there's always been kind of that brotherhood there that's, it goes back to our first time playing together at the Olympics, right? And so, you know, for him now to be a part of this Laker family, you know, it's big, man. And look, it's like, you know, once you put on that golden armor, man, it's like you become a part of that, of this culture, you become a part of the history. And man, I couldn't be more excited for the city and for Rob, Magic, and Genie.
All right, so what was part of the conversation that you had with LeBron? What was some of the stuff you talked about?
Hey, welcome to the family, bro. just getting together when he gets out here and, you know, just making sure his kids were good, family's good, and, that whole bit.
Okay, so, like, we're all reacting Saturday night to the news that Paul George is staying in Oklahoma City, which caused a lot of people to think, wait a second, hold on, maybe now LeBron won't go. What was your reaction when Paul George didn't even have a meeting with Magic? Magic got fined $500,000 for tampering,
right,
for winking, didn't have a meeting. He doesn't have a meeting with anybody else. He stays in Oklahoma City. What'd you think when you saw that?
I didn't have much of a reaction to it. You know, Rob Pelinka has been my guy for so long, and, you know, I know how he operates. So I know he has, you know, he's cut the pie a million different ways, right? So he has options. If that falls through, he has this. If that falls through, he has that. So he has backup plans to backup plans. So I was never really worried about it. I knew he was going to, you know, he had another option. Because that's just how he operates, man. So I wasn't tripping at all.
Okay, so for a long time in L.A., you know, if you're on Team Kobe, you can't be on Team LeBron, right? you can't, right? Now, you guys never got to face each other in the finals. Like, it just never worked. We never got the battle of those two superpowers. We got you in the Celtics, but we didn't get you versus LeBron. Okay, so everyone read the tweet. You're taking the high road. You're welcome into your city, welcome into your team. But you have to tell NBA fans, Laker fans, how do you really feel about LeBron James wearing your team's jersey?
I love it. Man, listen, here's the thing. The NBA does better when the Lakers are at their highest potential. And for the city of L.A., it's important for us to have that star power. Now, look, Jerry was here, Elgin Baylor was here, Wilt was here, Magic was here, Cat was here, Shaq, myself. And now let's carry it forward again, right? You got LeBron here now. It's his turn now. Hopefully he can, which he will. He'll take this his franchise back to its prominence, man. So I'm excited. I mean, I bleed purple and gold and since I was, 3 years old. You know what I mean? It cuts real deep with me, man. So I'm really excited.
Did you know after your conversation? Did you know when the news got tweeted out? When did you know?
I can't remember exactly when I knew, but I knew. I'm pretty sure I knew before everybody else.
And Kobe called Clutch Sports, and Clutch Sports put out
the tweet. I don't know if you read Lee's article, but Lee's article said that LeBron, listen, it was. It felt like a little bit of a script, so maybe it's not exactly how it happened. It said he was getting on his plane to fly to Europe, and he called Rich Paul and said, call the Lakers, hung up, and got on the plane. So that's not really the way it went down?
I don't know. That sounds about right.
Kobe Bryant joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan Patrick and the Danettes. Okay, so you mentioned you believe that LeBron will take the Lakers back to where they belong, to prominence, to top the NBA. What's this going to be like? You've been a part of the builds, the rebuilds, several times over with the Lakers. What should our reasonable expectations be based upon the roster they currently have wearing purple and gold?
Well, I think the wonderful thing about this is that it really does speed up the development of the younger players. Where they've been growing so much, and now here they are thrust into the spotlight, and how pressure makes diamonds. And so in this situation, you'll see Lonzo step up, you'll see Kuzma step up more. Like, the young guys will really step up and rise to that challenge and hit their potential a lot faster than it ordinarily would.
Do you think they all stay? Well, all the talk about Kawhi Leonard, that's still on the table. He wants to come here. That all those players, guys like Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo, they'll all still be here?
Well, the most important thing is that they have talent here now, right? So, the Lakers have put themselves in a beautiful position where you have a myriad of options, right? And all of which, we'd all be happy with. So,
if he doesn't win a championship, is it a failure?
We'll get back to that level.
No, I understand.
We'll get back to that level.
I understand, but you still look. You got
no,
the. You
listen,
still.
He is family now, and as a Laker, we will get back to that level. I remember Magic said it when Shaq and I first came on board, and his unyielding support for us was something that we relied on heavily, and we're all going to rally around LeBron and support him just the same, man. We'll get this done.
Doug, Kobe had no time for that question. He had.
I mean, you got to offer up the possibility, right? Like, look,
he's in the golden armor, my man. That's family now.
I understand, but look, Karl Malone, Gary Payton, they come over here, and then Dwight Howard and Steve Nash, they came. Others have chased what you have captured, right? Others have tried to do it and have failed. Have we offered up the thought? All right, here's my question. He's 33. He's 33, and he's been able to not be injured. You had the knee, you had several different knee things, and then obviously the Achilles.
Yep.
How long can he continue at this pace, considering he's a huge man who's never been hurt?
Well, I mean, here's the beautiful thing about the size that he has is that it gives him great versatility. So when he reaches a point where he feels like his game is slowing down or his explosiveness is diminishing, with his size, he can easily and comfortably move to the low block, right? He can play down low. He can play the mid post more. He can play on the elbows more. So his size gives him great versatility and the ability to adapt with age. I mean, you saw I had to adapt to age. Mine had to adapt to age. Certain players had to adapt. But, you know, I was 6'6", right? So I was trying to – I was posting up and having to do things with bigger guys. But LeBron's size is 6'10". I mean, that's a natural evolution for him. So I don't think he'll have much of a problem with it.
You know, we talked about – you talked about evolution of how things have been going free agency-wise for LeBron. He had the decision. Then he had the first-person article for Players Tribune. Still, this was such a big deal with police helicopters following him as he landed in Van Nuys on Saturday, which is so L.A. It's so awesome. Do you like the way free agency goes now with players and how things go and how big of a deal it is like this?
Well, you know, I just think it just elevates the game as a whole, right? If this much attention is being paid to free agency, that means the game is extremely popular and it's really in a good spot, right? And we live in an era now with social media and, you know, so many different media outlets that everybody's trying to one-up each other, right? So that just raises and heightens the electricity that surrounds free agency. So, I mean, it's all good, man. It's all good. It just does nothing but, you know, make the game more popular.
So. You chose to kind of remove yourself from L.A. You live, you know, you had to helicopter in from where you live to get to Staples.
Yeah.
And you did that, I would guess, to kind of get away from some of the noise and have your own thing. He's chosen, at least his two homes now, that's Brentwood, that's West L.A., that's right in the heartbeat of it. How challenging do you think that's going to be for him? Look, he's had a circus before, but it's a circus right in Akron and Cleveland. It's completely different when you're in L.A. What's that challenge like for him?
Well, you know, I think it'll be fine, actually. I think, you know, there'll be a lot of hype at first. But, you know, what happens in L.A., even in, you know, OC, is that the city claims you. So they wind up protecting you and shielding you and looking out for you, right? I mean, so I think at first it'll be, you know, a little crazy. But when things stabilize and they settle down, the community will actually rally around him and protect him and his family. So
you got to watch out, Kobe. You sound management now. You're management
bro,
now.
Listen, man. I was excited was, you know, like Jeannie. I remember Jeannie when her and I first talked and her about taking over the team and stuff and her finally deciding to do that and being really happy for her and, you know, and Rob obviously coming back and taking that thing and knowing the pressure that he was under and the heat that he was under and, you know, the challenge that he was facing. I mean, this is a big day, man. A big day.
You've obviously won 5 NBA titles. Okay, you've won an Oscar now. Does winning a title as part of a front office interest you in the future?
No. I'm not. No. No.
Not even a little.
No, man. No. Like I love what I'm doing. I love creating. I love, you know, getting up in the morning and working on building the studio. You know, I absolutely love it. But, like, you know, Lakers is family, bro. So, like, you know, for Rob to win a championship, to me, it's like winning another one, man. Like, I can – that's my brother. So I'll always be a part of the Laker family.
Detail was really well-received, incredibly well-received during the NBA playoffs. The respect I know you want is not just from us but really from players, right? And players are like, dude, I watched that. It was incredible. But there is, like, you're kind of giving away keys to Jason Tatum, who's with the Celtics. Like, you're saying Lakers are family, but you're telling the Celtics how to beat everybody else. Is there any sort of pull there because there are guys you like, guys you have relationships, and guys maybe you don't like? How do you handle that?
I know. Well, no, the thing is, you know, these tactics are things that help Jason Tatum. But there are also things conceptually that can help other basketball players and other athletes. And the choice that I made was, you know, I want to be able to enhance the game for other players, not just the ones that are currently playing, but also for the next generation, right? So, like, if you have a 12-year-old basketball player out there right now and he's watching the show Detail and he's watching how the game should be processed and he's thinking about the game at that level now, then what would he be thinking about when he's 17, when he's 22, when he's 25, right? So it's about playing the long game and trying to enhance the next generation of athletes as well as help out the current ones.
Yeah, I'm sure Gigi loves that. I'm sure she rolls her eyes. She's like, oh, man, are we going to break down tape again?
You know what? That's when it all started, though. Like, I figured, like, if I can create a show that has fun lights and diagrams and arrows and try to make that visually fun for my kid to watch, then, you know, she can learn and without me having to sit down with her and bore her to death while watching film.
All right. One last time, just so Laker fans know, guys that have your jersey, You are okay with them purchasing a LeBron James jersey today that says Lakers. Like, you are not, if they take off a Kobe jersey and put on a LeBron Lakers jersey, you're cool with it.
Oh, my God, yes, man. Are you kidding me? Come on. Go in your closet, stack up on Jerry West, stack up on Magic, on my jersey, by LeBron jersey. I mean, let's go. I mean, it's all about the golden armor, man. And, stock up.
And you're going to let LeBron use the helicopter, right? Because he's got to live a little bit farther out, and getting to practice might be tough.
He can use the Mamba Chopper anytime, man.
All right. How much time did you cut off your commute? And that's what I always wanted to know. How much did it take you from leaving your house, get there, before get to practice? What, 10 minutes?
Bro, seriously, like when I first moved out here, there was hardly anybody out here, right? So the drive for me was like 30 minutes. And then it started becoming like an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours. And, I mean, you know, like you got soccer games to get to. You got school recitals to get to, man. Nobody got time to be sitting in traffic, man. So I tried the helicopter, and it takes me 15 minutes.
The Mamba Chopper, man.
That is a baller move. That's a big baller move. Kobe, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Hey, you got it, fellas. Have a good one.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
One of the other stories, obviously, in the NBA is going to be the vastly revamped Phoenix Suns. Apparently, Devin Booker in contract negotiations, unhappy that the team released Tyler Ulis, one of the starting point guards last year. But still, assuming Booker resigns, and Booker's so young, only 22 years old, you got Booker, they've added Trevor Ariza, and they've added our next guest, DeAndre Ayton, the number one overall pick in the NBA draft. Kind enough to stop by, spend some time with us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. DeAndre, it has been, a couple of weeks since the NBA draft. What's it feel like now? You're like an officially an NBA player. What's it been like?
It's very busy, and you know, a lot of responsibility, especially being on time, and you know, just really taking care of your body.
So, are you like, look? I'm an always late guy. Are you an always late guy, or are you on time early guy?
No, on time early guy, most definitely. You know, just really getting the routine down, and just seeing everybody come in. And just hailing them and getting to know them before you actually start practicing, going at each other.
Yeah, and understanding that some of these summer league guys, don't worry about them. They're not going to be around for long, but still, good to know them. How difficult was it throwing out first pitch? Like, had you ever thrown out a first pitch before?
No, that's my first time throwing a baseball. And, you know, I wanted to throw it out further until I got closer and closer and realized how much of a distance it was. But, you know, everybody was looking at me. I was like, let me just... You know, do what I got to do and stay focused.
Okay, so you had never thrown a baseball ever before?
Never. Not a baseball.
Okay, so you go out there on the mound, and you're standing, and like, look, dude, you're 7 feet one anyway. You stand, and you stood on top of the mound, so, I mean, you're looking down on everything. You wanted to go full windup, and they talked you out of it?
Yeah, I guess they said they wanted better folders or something like that, but I didn't want to throw it that close. I wanted to go further.
Yeah, he gave you the sign for a fastball. And like, look, for the first time you throw a baseball, it was not bad. I mean, you didn't go 50 cent. You didn't take out anybody. And it was kind of a strike. Look, you've done a lot of things. That's got to be one of those things because it's not something you've ever practiced where you're almost nervous about it, right?
Yeah, very. I was very nervous. I just tried to really keep it professional and just really enjoy the moment.
DeAndre Ayton joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Listen, I talked about you leading up to the draft. Obviously, you're dominant. You're number one on most people's board. My only fear is you play a position, and like your gift, one of your great gifts is you have incredible footwork around the basket. There's like an Akeem Olajuwon to you in that you have great footwork for a man your size. But the NBA, they don't play with low posts that often. You know, and I know that you're a good pick and pop jump shooter, but more and more big guys are being forced away from the basket. As you've begun to work with the Suns, how much of it is back to the basket? How much of it is facing the basket and learning how to play almost like a perimeter player?
I mean, to be honest, we're a young team. So, I mean, everyone on the floor is very versatile. And, you know, coach has us guarding and switching onto guards and really playing the pick and roll defense, how it was in the finals. So, I mean, playing the perimeter play isn't hard. I've been playing it in college, high school, and, you know, I work on it all the time just in case the team needs it. And, you know, I'm just not a one-dimensional big man. You know, I want to establish myself down low, but I also want to, you know, really be more versatile to help the team out more.
This Friday is your first summer league game, right?
Yes, sir.
What's your level of excitement?
I'm very excited. You know, I've been telling everybody how excited I am. Just really to get on that floor and really feel that environment, and you know, just to be around other great players and you know your opponents and stuff like that. It's just going to be a good time.
DeAndre Ayton joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. You and Marvin Bagley, number two pick. You guys signed a deal with Pumas, right? So now they're hopping all up in the NBA market. How much say did you have in the design of the shoe? It's like your first shoe, because sometimes the first shoe, they just put your name on it. Did you get any say on what they're going to do?
I mean, not really. I had no say on that first shoe. To be honest, it was like a surprise for everyone. You know, I seen the shoe, and I was looking at it. I was like, wow, you guys been working on this the whole time. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, they're like orange with a little yellow at the top. Are those ones you're going to wear Friday?
I know. I might just go with a white or black shoe. Keep it generic.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, here's the thing. Smaller guys, we got to wear white sneakers because it makes us look quicker. You don't need to. You're big guys. You can wear big boots. It doesn't really matter. They look like you're going to stomp on somebody. Hey, did you see Thon Maker's jump kick today in the FIBA game? Have you guys watched that video?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, you got to get on your phone afterwards and look at it. It is a fight between Philippines and Australia. In an international game, and Thon Maker had some jump kicks that were outstanding. He's going to sign an MMA contract.
Wow!
Where were you yesterday when you heard about the LeBron news?
I was at the baseball game. I was coming from the baseball game, from the D-backs baseball game, and you know I called it out before the day started. I was like, you know, LeBron's going to LA. He knows exactly what he's doing.
And so what does that do for you? Does that, I mean, like, look, LA and Phoenix, the kind of a rival, obviously you guys got it. You guys have a young team, but last year they were honestly kind of tanking games to try and get you as a pick. Has there been any talk around the facility today about the Lakers?
Not really. Everybody's just been saying, you know, LeBron, like, you know, it's they're shocked. That's about it.
What about Devin? Like, look, Devin Booker's one of the elite scorers.
Yeah.
There's talk about him being upset about Tyler Ulis getting released. What's your sense of whether or not he'll sign that long-term extension?
I mean, I hope he does. You know, I heard they were, that's his guy, that's his best friend. And, you know, I mean, it's tough. I mean, that's tough.
All right, so now you got to be his new best friend. That's what you have to do.
Yeah, basically. I mean, yeah. But I guess that relationship he had with Ulis is, you know, is something deep. That's personal.
No question about it. Well, listen, we can't wait to see you Friday. Can't wait to see the new Puma kicks. In the meantime, stay healthy. We'll see you out in the perimeter shooting deep three. You're gonna launch some NBA threes, aren't you?
Most definitely. Coach has me doing everything.
I can't wait to see it. DeAndre, best of luck. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
DeAndre Ayton joining us. Number one overall pick, NBA draft, Phoenix Suns.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Dave Roberts joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show, the skipper for the Dodgers. Look, you guys have turned the season around, but nobody seems to care anymore because everybody's talking about LeBron. You okay with that?
Hey, I'm okay with that. We're just kind of, Doug, we're just staying under the radar, man. I think it's great for the city, and we're continuing to win baseball games, and it's going to be a fun October for sure. But, no, that was a nice shot in the arm last night here about LeBron.
Yes, especially, you know, you had the three-game losing streak, then you beat the Rockies. But, look, this thing turned around once you got Justin Turner back. How is it possible that one guy who was once giving his walking papers can so dramatically turn around, like, the energy within a franchise?
I think that you said it. You know, energy is something that he infuses in the clubhouse. And obviously, when he's active, it just kind of resonates a little bit more. You know, and JT is just such a pro in everything he does. And guys just gravitate towards him, Doug. And so, obviously, the statistics are going to continue to get better. But him being active, I think that's when you can see that our season turned.
So, you've dealt with, I mean, so much, right? Sager out for the year. Kirsch was hurt. Didn't have Justin Turner. But during those times of adversity, I think you do learn something more about guys that you didn't know. Who are the couple of guys who maybe you felt more comfortable counting on than you had before everything went to hell in a handbasket early on?
I think the easy one is, is Max Muncy, is somebody we really didn't know a whole lot about, and he's come through and really supplanted himself in our lineup and really been very productive. But I think that obviously Matt Kemp, he's an all-star this year and first time since, I think, 2012. And so when you lose a guy like JT, Corey Seager, what Matt's done for us in the clubhouse, in the batter's box, obviously has carried us. And then you look at other guys like Kike Hernandez, what he's done for us, and all throughout the lineup, guys have picked each other up. And so that's what it's taken. But the starters now are getting healthy. We've got Clayton back, Rich Hill back, Maeda back. So things are kind of trending in the right direction for us.
No question about it. All right, let's talk some Matt Kemp. This doesn't make any sense. Like, he wasn't supposed to be on the roster by the end of the year. And, I mean, hell, he's like an MVP. He's been an MVP candidate for part of this season. Like, what? How has he reinvigorated his career?
It's a 180. And for being 32, 33, where, like you said, we didn't know what to expect him this year, whether he's going to be on the roster. I think that you just can't quantify, fight, grit, toughness, and just sheer will.
Do you think, Dave, I hate to interrupt. Is it possible, is it possible you go to San Diego and, I mean, they couldn't win. You're in Atlanta. They were trying to lose, right? And look, some of that is on, a lot of that's on him, you know, and not being in shape and not being in tune or whatever, not being the same guy. But there's also, sometimes it's hard to go to the ballpark and perform when your team, now he's not winning, but is dedicated to going super young and trying to win in the future. Whereas you go to the Dodgers, and the only thing that's important in LA for the Dodgers is not to get back to the playoffs, but to win the damn World Series, to win one more game. Is that at least in some levels part of it?
Absolutely. And Matt will say it himself, where you have guys around you that, and in part of an organization that he grew up in, and knowing the only goal was to win a championship and not having to be the only guy that has to carry, whether it be the Padres or the Braves, have a lot of guys around you that their only goal is the same as his goal, to win a championship. And I think that definitely helps the motivation, the incentive for being in shape, playing better defense, running the base a little bit harder. So absolutely, I think all that plays in.
Okay, so look, there's a player who plays in the Mid-Atlantic region that has been long sought after by most of Dodger Nation. He will be a free agent at the end of the year. How confident are you?
I have no idea who you're talking about.
I know you don't know anybody who I'm talking about. And I know there's some other potential additions that you'd love the front office to make. What's your sense of their desire to add a piece or two, short-term, long-term, to help you make that next push?
I think, and I hate speaking for the front office, but I can say this, that our guys are always trying to make our club better. And I think that we do a very good job of supporting our guys, but also poking holes in the roster and figuring out what we need. And so the 31st of July kind of, makes its way, we're having conversations. And there's a lot of good players on our club. There's a lot of good players out there. So we're going to do whatever. And our guys have shown in the last few years that we'll do things to give us ourselves the best chance to win a championship. So, we're always having those conversations, Doug, certainly.
Dave, great stuff. Congrats on turning around. Obviously, it's big time for the city. But, now look, what rising tide lifts all ships. Lakers are trying to get back to winning championship. You guys got to get back to the World Series. Otherwise, people forget about you. They just will. I mean, they'll show up every night, but they'll forget about you.
That's right, Doug. That sounds good to me. We'll do it.
Thanks, Skip. Appreciate it.
Take care.
All right. That's Dave Roberts, the skipper of the L.A. Dodgers.